kick right off today with the word. If we just bow our head in reverence, I just want to just invite our Heavenly Father and our Holy Spirit amongst us. Father, we just thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we give this time to you, O God, the great I am. We offer ourselves, we offer our thoughts, we offer our actions to you today, Father God. Speak, Father God, clearly to each one of us today. Open our hearts, Father, to receive your word. Let your word become flesh and dwell amongst us. Let it make us and allow us to change, Father God, to be transformed in our minds, in our lives, in our hearts, Father God. Let us be an example of who you are on this earth, O God. We thank you, Father God, that you have preeminence and ultimately you have the last say. So, Father, we are grateful and it is a privilege to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, we invite you and welcome you in our midst. Your word says where the two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. Take full control. Decrease me as you increase. Let your voice be heard behind this voice today. We welcome you in the precious name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with a stamp of approval say, amen. Hallelujah. We've been doing a series over the last few weeks called Taking Territory. And Dr. Robert and Pastor Pauline has been teaching and preaching, you know, from this series called Taking Territory. And we've been discussing it in our life groups, in our cell groups. It's something that we've been going through because this is what we believe. As a ministry, Destiny City Church have a vision, a statement of faith and beliefs, core values and more general values. And all of the preceding help form a framework of our guiding principles. And we believe that it dictates our behavior and attitudes. Everything that we're learning, we believe that it's going to dictate our attitudes and our behavior, the way that God wants us to behave. And ultimately, it'll help us to determine if we're on the right path, if we're really doing what God wants us to do, if we're really being the church that God wants us to be, if we're really living the life that God wants us to live. So we've been doing this series of teachings and ministering to you so that we are all on the same page and we're all following the same direction, that we're going in the direction that God wants us to go in. And we want the ministry to be in unity and go in the same direction that God will have us. We want to be people of integrity and have the ethics that God wants us to have. Amen? So our vision at Destiny City Church is to be agents of change and liberty by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can change us is the power of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, not in your will, not in your strength, nothing that you can do. The only thing that can change us and give us freedom is by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say amen. Amen. And when you say amen, it's a stamp of approval. It means that you agree with what God is saying. Amen. And so if I keep saying say amen, because I want you to agree. Amen. I want you to agree with the word of God. So we've been covering this. Signs of a good church, right? There are good churches, there are bad churches, but ultimately there's one church, amen? But the way that the practice goes on simply means that people have differing ways in which church is performed or ministered in their church, amen? So I'm going to kick off first of all with the heading of my ministering to you today is a church which you can leave. Contrary to thoughts that when somebody gets into a church, they begin to believe that they can't leave. And a good church will allow you to leave. And I'm going to unpick that with you this afternoon to tell you why a good church will allow you to leave. Amen? So I'm going to read. First of all, I'm going to go through what is a church? What is the church? You know, our unbelievers, the world have a different view of what the church is. They see a bunch of people with problems and situations because that's when we do come to God, amen? And they judge us by the standard of what they see without really understanding what a church is. Right? A church is a body of people. You are the church. Without the body of people, this is just a building. in which we congregate. Amen? But the church is you. A church is a spiritual family. So there's a personal and there is a corporate. So the church is a spiritual family. And this is what the church looked like. If you can put up Acts chapter 2, verse 40, from verse 42, please. I'm reading from the New King James. And so this is basically what the church looks like. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and divided them amongst all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord, that's unity, in the temple, this temple and in here, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That is the church. It's the recipe for what the church is supposed to look like. We're all supposed to have something in common today. We call it communion. Communion is basically a blending together of people. Yeah, a blended together, a congregation, a coming together, an assembly of people coming together who believe in a doctrine. A doctrine is a set of guidelines that's been set out in here. So irrespective of what church you go to, if you have this book, you are following the same guidelines, no matter what family of church you belong to. And like a natural family, a church is, you don't just change your family when you're born into them. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional they are. You can't just change them. You can run away from home. You can do all these, but your family is still your family. And that's what God expects from the church when you're in a family. You're not just in, you may live at this address, but you can still go to another church, and that is still the address of God. Amen? So God's address is here. God's address is in KICC. God's address is in Ruach. God's address is everywhere. Once there's a body of people who believe in Christ Jesus, that is God's address. Amen? So you can't just leave a family. They're still your family. Whether you move down there, they're still your family. And that's something that we really have to understand about your families. When you're in your natural family, bit by bit, I had a family of eight, and bit by bit, people moved out home. But they didn't cease to be my brothers and sisters when they left. I didn't see them as any different. I didn't think because they left home, I am not going to speak to them anymore. I didn't say, how dare you leave home? Nah? Because they were leaving home to set up another home somewhere else. But they're still of the same family, except for they set up their home somewhere else. Amen? That's the same like the church. And that's the way we have to really view people. Bible also tells us in verse 46 that they went from house to house. So they weren't really forbidden from going from house to house. No one was stopping them from going from house to house to break bread, to recognize who Jesus is. When you're having communion here, you break bread. What do we break bread for? To observe the Lord's death. Yeah. So if I leave from here and I go in this afternoon to another church to break bread with them, I'm not being a traitor to this church. I'm going to break bread with my others and brothers and sisters who is across the road. Amen? So before we get all het up about where people are actually going, we have to realize if they're going to a Bible-based church that's preaching Jesus Christ, all it is I'm not being a traitor to this church. We're not being a traitor to that church. We're just going there to break bread with our extended family, who is still our family. Amen? So a church which you can leave is the title of what I'm speaking about. In your own families, if you're growing and developing really well, it's easier for you to stay. When you're in a family and you're developing really, really well and you're growing, it's easy to stay, right? Some people may stay too long in their families and their mums and dads want to kick them out because they're growing too well in their family. And, you know, your parents are saying, sweetie, you know, it's time to get, you know, they say birds kick their babies out the nest, you know. And it's not a bad thing. That's how they learn to fly. Amen. And some people, you know, I know some 40-year-olds that are still at home with mum and dad, you know, get out. Shouldn't be there unless a circumstance happened. Amen. Sometimes in this day and age today, it's really hard to buy a house. If you move back home, glory to God, you know, to save some money, etc. But you know, it's wise to sort of get out of your family's house when you're like 14. Get out. And then fly your nest. Amen. If that's you, it's not personal. Okay. A good church, however, is not necessarily the best church for you. What do you mean? It might meet some of your requirements, but it doesn't mean it's going to meet all of your requirements. Yeah? In Acts chapter 13, 1 to 3, it was Barnabas, Simeon, and others. They were at church of Antioch. And the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work I have called them to do." Then the Bible says, then they laid hands on them and sent them away. And verse 4 tells us in Acts chapter 13 that they were being sent out by the Holy Spirit. So sometimes when you're in a church and somebody moves on, they're being moved on by the Holy Spirit in the same way as the Holy Spirit was the one who said, "Separate unto me." Not unto that church, not unto that minister. Separate unto me the work for the ministry. I'm calling them out of your church to do something for me. Don't try and keep them because I need them to grow. I need them to do something. I need them over there. And the talents and the gifts that I've given them, I'm going to take them out of this family and I'm going to place them over there. I need Barnabas and I need Saul to continue something that I have to do, that they have to do. Sorry. Amen? So they had to come out of the church in Antioch and go somewhere else via the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when people leave in here, we're all a little bit upset that they left, because sometimes depending on how they leave, it's quite understandable. But when somebody leaves because they believe that God is calling them to do greater things, he's calling them to do something else, he might be calling them to another country. And sometimes when people are going to leave our church, we try to hold them back. We're a little bit like Peter when Jesus had to go to the cross, "Far be it for you," you know, until he had to say to him, "Get behind me, Satan." Yeah? "Far be it for you." And sometimes we just because we want that person in here, we try to keep them. We try to keep their gifts. We try to keep their talents in here. And the Holy Spirit is saying, "Separate them unto me." So you'd have someone that's great at, you know, playing the keyboards like Shannon and that, God might be calling her somewhere else. We've got to let her go. We've got to let her go for the work of the ministry. She might be called to do something somewhere else. And if we try to keep somebody just because they're really good, we're stifling really the work of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So a good church is a church that's going to recognize when somebody has to leave. A good church is a church that you are able to leave. They have grown you. They have done many things for you. And then they're almost like the family when you're 40 years old. Get out. Yeah? God's got some more work for you. And more times out of 10, I believe that when somebody's ready to move on to do that, he's already spoken to the ministers, to the leaders. They've already have an idea that person's ready to go. They're already like a mother and father saying, "You know what, it really is time. I can see what God is actually doing." We're supposed to be knowing the state of our flock, knowing when God has really exalted someone to the place that they need to move on and go and do some work somewhere else. Amen? And not stifle them because we want to keep them. Bible tells us that in Acts chapter 15, that Silas remained at Antioch whilst Paul and Silas went to Syria and Cilicia. Barnabas and Mark departed and went to Cyprus. So somebody was in Antioch, someone was in Syria, someone was Cilicia, and someone was in Cyprus. But they were still the apostles working for Christ Jesus, doing the same work of the gospel. Yeah? But their season of togetherness was over. Yeah? We can't do this thing anymore together because I'm needed over there. So I can't really do this thing with you guys anymore. Our season together is over in the same region. Our work is not over, but our series together is over in the same region. We now need to depart and go to other regions to do the work that the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Their callings were different. And sometimes we'll find that in a church, that the calling is just different. Yeah? And you need to go somewhere else to fulfill your calling. Sometimes you might be in church and you're feeling really quite stifled because the vision of that church doesn't compensate your calling at this time. You might be in a church for a season to grow, for God to break you and do all the things that he needs to do. But ultimately, if he's moving you on somewhere else, it just means your calling is called somewhere else. If I was a person concerned about starving people in Africa, I've got to go. I've got to go. I can't stay here. I've got to go there. My calling is calling me over there. So I need to leave. I love you. You're covering me and that. But I need to go because my calling can't keep me here. Yeah? If you've got a greater calling, it can't keep you here. No matter how devoted, how great your church is. Yeah? A good church is not necessarily the right church for you. Yeah? So don't let that trap your giftings. Don't let that trap your talents. Amen. But there's another way in which we leave. If departing from your church is not handled wisely, the only thing that will come out of that is disagreements and division begins there. And a lot of that does happen in church because there's a mentality that really goes on. So if you could put up 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 10 to 11. Amen. Amen, whilst I find it. It's just where Paul was addressing. I actually got paper Bible, so I've got to fidget through it. So he addressed some attitudes that go on in the church, why when somebody leaves, it's not handled correctly, or when there's a separation in church, it's not handled. Now, I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now, these are what the contentions were that Paul was talking about. And this is really quite prevalent in churches today. I am of Paul. I am of Apollos. I am of Cephas. I am of Christ. Then he went on to say, is Christ divided? And sometimes when we're leaving church and we use these words for a better church. It's one church, one head. So if I'm leaving this ministry for a better ministry, that means if I'm preaching Christ Jesus in this church and I'm leaving for a better church because I am of Apollos and so I'm better than you who are of Paul and I'm better than you who is at Apollos, that means I'm causing some kind of contention to leave. I am leaving Paul's church to go to Apollos' church because it's better. The preacher is better looking. The pastor's renowned. The bishop preaches really well. The church is so boring that we went to. Oh, he's a boring preacher. The list goes on and on and on. No matter what church you go to, yeah, it's all the body of Christ. If you leave this one and go to another one, don't criticize the family that you were in. Go to the other church gracefully. They're still the family. They're just an extended family. They're not no better. If they're preaching Christ Jesus, they're not no better. They're just better for you. Right? But it's not no better. So you don't leave one church and begin to criticize that family. I can't come out of my family and say, oh, I couldn't stay there. Because my two brothers are here today, glory to God. And I couldn't leave today and say, I'm leaving because I don't like that brother, or I don't like that brother, I don't like that sister. I should be honoring my family. We should be honoring our family. Shouldn't be going away from here and criticize your spiritual father. Honor him when you go away because he taught you something. Yeah? Don't leave one family and go into, it's just like when people are in their families at home, and then they leave the family and they get married and go into their family. Dysfunction. If you leave that family in a bad way, I can guarantee to you your marriage will end up the same way. Because you don't know how to basically have self-control. Right? You take that into your marriage. You take what your family was, life is in, into your marriage. The same thing you do in the church. If you leave a church disgruntled, I guarantee, I'm standing up and guarantee, you're going to be the troublemaker in the next church you go to. You're going to be, when you move on, you are going to be the troublemaker, right? Because you left one disgruntled. So you in yourself, you don't know what you look. Well, let's say we, I'm going to include me. We don't know what we're looking for. We're disgruntled because our gifting weren't recognized in that church. It weren't recognized in that church because the vision just weren't there to compensate it. So instead of criticizing, learn. Why? Say to God, why have you got me in this church? What is it I have to learn? Okay, then my calling, there isn't room for it at the moment in this family. So when you send me on to another family, let me just graciously leave because I've realized that, you know, I just can't fit that calling that I've got in here. I need it. That, you know, when I went and visited that other church, I found that I can fit it in there. So don't come here and then leave all disgruntled just because you can't fit in here at the moment, in your season and in your time. Yeah? Because when we do things like that, that's what we're basically saying. You can't compensate me in my season. Right? God might not even be saying to you, it's your season. He's saying, I need you here for this season because I need to break you in this church. And what they preach here is breaking you down so that by the time I finish with you and make you, you know, mold you on the potter's wheel, you will be a whole vase to go into another church and sit on the shelf looking pretty. Amen? So we got to be really, really careful with that. And disputes is not new to the church. Disputes is not new to the church. In Acts chapter 13, we know that John Mark decided to leave or abandon Apostle Paul and others in Pamphylia. He deserted them. So there was a big contention that started to happen. He just left and went to Jerusalem. So scholars believe that he basically just left and didn't say anything. He just abandoned the work, right? And he just didn't say anything, and he left Apostle Paul and all that, so there was a big argument. And so by Acts chapter 15, 37 to 39, Paul and Barnabas got into this big old ruck over John Mark, and so they parted company. How common is that in the church? A big old ruck happened there, and he was defending him, and yeah, and I'm defending Sister Yvette, because how dare you talk about her and this and that, and she's good for the gospel, and they just parted, right? And so the dispute was going on. They still continued, however, to work in the ministry, just not together. But when you look at it, that was a petty argument, because I don't even know, the Bible doesn't tell us any more about it, because maybe John Mark had a really, really good reason. But because the work needed to be done and he decided to abandon them, the big contention started because the Apostle Paul stopped speaking to him. My version. Right? And he was a little bit upset with him. He abandoned the work because he brought it up again, didn't he? It happened in Acts chapter 13. But when the Bible tells us by Acts chapter 15, he brought it back up again. That means he was holding it, wasn't he? Really, he was holding it. Because if he's saying, oh, he deserted us at Pamphylia, he was holding it. And sometimes we do the same things. We hold what somebody did last year, right? Let it go. I say to Apostle Paul, let it go, right? I probably, because Barnabas is the encourager, and I bet he was saying, oh, well, just let it go. He did it now, but he's back. But Apostle Paul fixed up, right? And that's what we need to do. By 2 Timothy 4 and 11, what did he say? He said that, Apostle Paul called for John Mark, stating that he was useful for the ministry. So despite he abandoned them and went and done his old thing, Apostle Paul still recognized he's good for the ministry. Yeah? So before we go and abandon someone and throw them out of the church and not allow them to come back in, we got to realize how useful they are in the ministry, right? Give them room to come back to the family. Because if we are one church, we should be able to work with people irrespective of where their family church is, whatever building they congregate over. Make room for them to come back because you might need them to come back and do something for you. Yeah? So make room. Don't let them leave disgruntled or anything. Recognize why they're moving on. Right? Big dispute here, but subjected himself under God and recognized that there is something useful about Mark. Yeah, we need him. This second part or journey of my life, I need John Mark at this time. Okay, I'm going to let go of whatever happened the last time. I'm going to let him go. God has spoken to me. I understand it all. So I'm going to make room, you know, for him to come back, because there's something that he's got that's useful. Right? That dispute that happened, I'm not going to carry on because I need him. Yeah. So when somebody leaves out of here, don't carry on a dispute with them, because we might need to call them back for something. They might go out there and create a big, massive ministry, become really on the TV and begin to speak in that. And we need them to come here and do an appointment for us. Amen. Make room for people to be able to leave your church. Amen. Let the petty disagreements just die. And if you're going to leave a church, leave the church respectfully. You're the house of God. Yeah? You're in the house of God. Leave his house with respect, irrespective of how you left your parents' house. Right? Some of us have left our parents' house on really, really bad terms. Bible tells us that you've dishonored your parents, irrespective of what they're like. I know this one gets up people's nose, but I didn't write the Bible. I'm just here ministering it. Yeah? The Bible says, honor your father and mother, which is a commandment with a promise that it may be well with you, Ephesians 6 and 2. Yeah? So if you've dishonored your parents in the way that you live, fix up. Proverbs 20 and 20, whoever curses his father or mother, his lamp will be put out in deep darkness. If you've left your family, whether they're dysfunctional or whether they're good, if you've left them in a dishonoring way, you will leave church in a dishonoring way. Do you know that there's a partnership between them? If you don't allow God to get in there and do some dealings with you about separation anxieties, yeah? If you don't allow God to get in there and do, you know, and fix those things and heal those things, you will bring it into the same family, because that's your dysfunction is how you function in a family. It's just how you function. Whether you were in a natural family, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're in a supernatural or spiritual family, you are dysfunctional. Yeah? You're gonna bring your dysfunction in here. And then we're going to have to deal with your dysfunction. Amen? So let the Father of all fathers deal with that part of you. Give it to him. Say to God, I've got some separation anxieties. I've got some issues when it comes to separation. I've got some issues when it comes to leaving. Because the only way that I can leave is when I plant a bomb and let it go off. I can only leave in dysfunction. I can only leave and leave a wave of people hating me. That's the only way I've learned to leave. And some of us, that's the way we've learned to leave anything. Learned to leave a relationship. Learned to leave a friendship. Learned to leave a church. Learned to leave school. Learned to leave the workplace. In dysfunction. There are people like that. They can't leave well. They have to leave with a mess behind them. Amen? And I'm pretty sure most of us know some people that are like that. And those are the things that God wants to fix. That leaving mentality, that negative leaving. You know, it's almost as if we feel, if I don't create a mess when I leave, I won't be able to leave. But joining the church is a free choice. But some of us, we haven't learned how to leave. So we're thinking, you know, I want to leave here, but if I leave, and we're stuck in the church, and we're stuck, and we're getting more unhappy and unhappy and happy. I can't leave them. I can't leave. You know, we're not wrestling you to the ground. Destiny City Church ain't wrestling you to the ground. So you don't have to create a big old explosion to leave. Yeah? A good church will recognize when you've got to leave. You come, you do it respectfully. You come in the church, you speak to your pastors and your leaders. I want to leave. Give the reason why. When I was leaving home, I gave my mum the reason why I was leaving home. I was 22 years old, and my mum was moving to Enfield. And I was going to college in Old Street. So I said to my mum, you know, Enfield's a bit far for me to travel to Old Street to go to college. You know, so I moved in with my sister in Oxton. Then I could walk to college, yeah? So I moved in with my sister. But I explained it to mum, you know, I was 22, so she probably was ready to kick me out anyway. So it probably didn't matter to her. Why are you telling us for your 22? Get lost. Yeah? So, and when I was leaving my previous church, there was a set of events that happened there. But you know, and as much as I was really upset with it, I wasn't going to leave with a bomb left behind me. I explained why I felt I needed to move on, you know, instead of, you know, so that if it had continued, I can always come back. Don't leave somewhere and you can't go back there. Yeah, know that the church understands why you need, especially if the Holy Spirit is strong in your life. He'll begin to speak to you about why that person has to leave, especially leaders and pastors. He'll begin to speak to you and say to you, you will know that person's got to move. And in fact, you might help them to move on, not by kicking them out, but, you know, really making it a smooth transition for them. And also, we got this thing about saying that we pray people, we were talking about this in our Wednesday group, praying people out of church. What's that all about? What is praying people out of church? If they move on from here, they're still in church. We should be praying people on. We're praying them on. We shouldn't be praying them out. And we do get up here, let's be honest, we do get up here. We can get together, let's pray them out. You know, pray them out on their journey. You're not praying them out on their journey, you're praying them on in their journey. Once you pray them out, you're saying, get out, you know, can't come back, get on your journey, on your way, and that. Pray them on. Once you pray them on, they can move on and do the things that God needs them to do. Because like I said earlier, if you ever want them to come back to do something with you, the invitation is always open. There's always an invitation. There's always a key to the door. Yeah? There's always a key to the door. When leaving our parents' house, I noticed that I didn't get a key. I'm looking at my two brothers now. Right? I didn't get a key to be able to come back anytime that I wanted to. Right? But my brothers had keys that they could go back. I still think that's unfair still today, but I'm going to give that to God so I can get over it. Amen. But seriously, I didn't get a key. My brothers got a key. They could come back at any time. But we should be able to give people the key to be able to come back in. They can push that key in the door, open it, and they come in. Once they come inside, there's family in there. If my mum gave me a key and I pushed the key in her door and opened it, I'll be going in once again to family. Yeah, you guys, I'm hurt. No, not really. I'm not really. Yeah. So we try to leave. So a good church will recognize that you need to leave. A good church wouldn't make it hard for you to leave. Yeah? They're not going to make it hard for you to leave. You make it hard for you to leave. Because whatever you got going on in you is why you can't, you know, I said it earlier, separation anxiety, right? You make it hard. You think that they need you so much that when you go, that everybody's going to be crying in there. We will be a little bit sad. We will be a little bit sad, but we're not going to block your blessings. So don't wrestle us to the ground, or don't think that we're wrestling you at the door, because God has called you, separated Barnabas and Saul unto himself. Yeah, that's the way what we have to see. Every time somebody leaves, as long as they leave good. Let's talk about what a bad church does really quickly. A bad church, on the other hand, when you sign up membership with them, they forbid you to leave or even visit another church. I remember when one of my sisters was being baptized, and I'm not going to say what church she was baptized in, but she got baptized. And I realized that when the baptism was going on, she got baptized into her church. And me and my brother were sitting there, do you remember? I said, how can she baptize into the church? And we're sitting there in the congregation, how can she baptize into the church? We're sitting there like know-it-alls. How can she baptize into church? That's all we kept saying. How can she baptize? Because that's all we heard. Of all the things that was going on, all me and my brother heard was that she got baptized into the church. And then I remember saying to my sister, yeah, now that you're, you know, in the house of God, yeah, you're with God, and that you can come visit my church. Oh, no, she said, I can't come visit your church. I was mortified. I was mortified when she said, I said, why? She said, oh, she said, we're baptized in the church. I can't come visit your church. I wanted to know the word of the pastor. I wanted to know what it was all about. And I remember my sister saying to me that you don't want me to come back to the church, but hallelujah. Didn't have to. But that's a sign of a bad church. I'm not saying the church overall was bad, but why are you, if we're the body of Christ, why are you baptizing me into your church? You're actually telling me I can't leave. You're telling me I can't visit another church unless it's a member or it's one of your churches. You're telling me that, you know, I can't come and, you know, fellowship with my brothers and sisters somewhere else, that I must just stick to this family and we're going to be a little family together where we're going to be insular and we're all going to sit in here and play happy clappy chat and you're not going to go anywhere else because I don't want you to hear what they're preaching because I am of Apollos and you are of Paul. That's what's going on there. I'm of Apollos, you are of Paul. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? They're preaching Christ there. I definitely know that. They're preaching Christ there. So why can't I go there, sit under that ministry and hear the word of God? Right? Why is my sister prohibited to come to another church that's not the denomination that she is? Right? Why can't Apollos go to Paul's church? Why can't Kephas go to Christ's church? Right? So we got to be careful if we have these things in our mind. We've got to get rid of them today. Right? If you believe that you're stuck to one church and can't go anywhere, get rid of it today. Now, mind you, I ain't giving you permission to go. So don't even go and say, Pastor Rummett and Dr. Rummett, guess what Carol said? I ain't giving you permission to go. I'm trying to change some perceptions in your mind about if you do go. I'm trying to move the bondage out of you if you sit in somebody else's church and you're feeling really bad and they're preaching Jesus. That's what I'm trying to clear up. Amen? I ain't giving you permission to leave. Amen. A bad church usually looks like this. A bad church will be in the form of a cult. And that's when there's false doctrinal teaching. So a cult will almost hypnotize their believers into staying into this one. And they don't generally have a Bible that they're reading. So be careful of a church that don't want you to read your own Bible. All right? They will be preaching at you. And they could if you're a person that don't read your Bible, we can preach anything up here. If you don't be a Berean, we can stand up here and preach anything and keep you in here. And that's what cults do. They hypnotize, right? Using their own word of God, they hypnotize you to stay in their church. They throw out all these scriptures, and then people, because they don't read, they can't interpret the scriptures for themselves. So they listen to this person of God, whether it be a man or woman, preaching from the Bible. They haven't looked to see if they're preaching right. They probably don't even say, turn to Acts chapter, turn to Corinthians chapter. They probably are not even saying that. They're just preaching and preaching and preaching. So be careful of that type of church. Also, a church that will keep you is a wrong doctrine when it's wrong doctrinal interpretation. When they've taken the, let's use the KKK, right? They've used the so-called the Bible to promote their superiority. And if you don't read your Bible or have the Holy Spirit in your life to be led by the Holy Spirit, because that's our season, amen, right, to interpret the Bible for you, anyone can interpret it for you. And that's what will happen. You will say, okay, then, I read this little bit, and it seems like they're right, you know, the Arians are superior. And that if you don't read it, you will read something in it, and your interpretation will be warped, because they're the only person that explained it that way to you. So it will be warped in your own mind. Amen? Read the Bible for yourself. The other one is spiritual bullying. Luke chapter 18, 9 and 14, and Matthew 23, especially Matthew 23, all tells you about spiritual bullying. Spiritual bullying is people lording it over you, just like the Pharisees. Jesus always addressed them. They were heaping up burdens on the people, and they weren't even helping them. They weren't lifting anything. Be careful when you heap burdens on people. What does it do? It presses them down. So if you press somebody down their seat, they can't leave. Yeah, so spiritual bullying, people feel that I have to be here because whatever has been proved, whatever you're leading, when you're leading someone, don't disciple them unto yourself. Don't disciple someone unto yourself. It will make them hard to move on from you, right? They're not here for you. They're here for Christ Jesus and the work of the ministry. When the Holy Spirit is ready to separate them unto himself, they're going to find it hard to detach from you, especially the person who has separation anxiety, right? They're going to find it very hard to detach from you. So beware of spiritual bullying. Spiritual bullying can also come to you in a form. The Bible tells us that the devil disguises himself as an angel of light. Somebody might be so sweet to you. You might have the best leader. Oh, no, like, no, one in the worship team there, the leader's the best one there in the thing. Yeah, and I'm under her and I'm under him. And that, and you're going to find it really hard to move on. We might come to you one day and say, we're not in worship team anymore, so we want you in ushers. Yeah, oh, no, because Shannon needs me. Now if I go, Shannon's going to be upset. No, I don't want to upset Shannon, so I'm not coming out of the worship team. No, sorry, ushers. You know, and, you know,
I'm pretty sure Shannon won't be upset. She'll be, just be someone else to...
I know I'm making light, but these things really do happen, you know, and they're happening in the church. We're not moving on in the church because that's the way we're feeling, that we're going to let somebody else down. When we go, like, you know, we're the be-all and end-all, we're going to let someone else down. That person would recognize that you need to move on. Amen. Get to know the scriptures and the person of the scriptures. And any erroneous teachings that come about, they'll be exposed. Yeah? You won't be affected by someone's false teaching or their lack of knowledge of God and his word. Get to know the word yourself. You won't be bullied or made to feel guilty in remaining in your church if that's not your season. If your season's over, move on. Yeah? Move on, but move on graciously. Remember, every church has a different vision and a focus area. But every church has one head. We all have a different focus. You go to that ministry, they're doing something, right? We all have a different focus. And sometimes you might think that, you might get to a point where that ministry is no longer for you, your cover ministry. I call it your cover ministry, the ministry that you're supposed to be covered under. And sometimes you might move on somewhere else. But be gracious to your cover ministry. Understand who your cover ministry is. Treat them like a cover ministry. Have respect for your spiritual father, your spiritual parents. Have respect for them in the same way as you have, or if you have, respect for your parents. Honor them. This is what God wants for the church. He wants us to be able to leave graciously, right? Because he wants us to move from one family to the other smoothly so that we will be a benefit to the other church, not a hindrance, that we're not bringing baggage in. We're not bringing our anxieties in. We've resolved all those issues that we've had, you know, in that church. And even if we take the issues to the other church, speak before you leave. Go and see your pastor. Explain why you're going to move on. If there is an issue, work through the issue. You might find that that season is just over for you. If the season's over, accept the season's over in this family. Move on to your marriage family. Move on to the family that God will have you do. He has found a place in that ministry for you to grow. This one is over. This season is over. But there will be a time, just like John Mark, where Apostle Paul is going to require you because you're useful for this ministry. Amen. Shannon. Resolve your spiritual issues in your family. Resolve your natural issues in your family. That's what God wants. God wants you to recognize that a good church is a church that you can leave. A good church that you've signed up to is a church that will recognize when you've got to move on. They will recognize, like Barnabas and Saul, that you've been called to the work of another ministry. They will recognize that your calling is beneficial somewhere else. We saw it right through the book of Acts. We understand it, that they needed to move on. And the Bible shows us that they went to different regions, but they were doing the same work. We should never forget there's only one head, right? And in our own natural body, one head moves the whole body, yeah? The brain is in there, amen? The brain is in there, the head, the father. Head of any family really should be the father, yeah? I know that we're in a time where we have broken families, and there seems to be absent dads. But even if there's absent dads, doesn't change God's plans. Yeah? Just because we've had people have had absent dads in their families, it doesn't change. And usually that will make it very hard for them to accept a spiritual father because their natural father, you know, was very absent. But God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I have always been with you. Yeah? You are my church. Jesus is saying, you are my body. Irrespective of where you live, I live there too. Irrespective of your address, I live there too. When you move next door, I am there too. When you move on to that ministry I've called you to, I am there too. I want you to leave your family with grace. I want you to leave your family with love. I want you to leave your family so that you can have the key to open the door and come back in. Whatever gifting and talents God has got for you is needed. Amen. I just want us just to take this time and just think about things in our own lives, ministries that we may have been in, ministries that we may have left in a not so good way, and we've left some contentions behind in that. I want to just open up the altars real quick for you, that if you feel that, you know, you just want to just come before God, and some of those ideas about church, and if you left the church and you had a bad taste in your mouth, you left the family, you've got a bad taste in your mouth, come to the front this morning and give it to God. Let him speak to you about what a true family looks like. Let him speak to you about a natural family. Let him speak to you about a spiritual family. If you have separation anxieties, and you've left everywhere with something behind you, come to the front and give it to God. If you know someone else, come on behalf of them. Come and give it to God this morning. If you're finding it difficult to leave a particular church, it's not working for you. If you're finding it really difficult, you don't necessarily have to come to the front. Just give it to God where you are now. Give it to God. Close your eyes. Give it to him. Let him heal those places inside of you. Don't feel trapped in a church. Don't feel trapped where you are. A good church will recognize when you have to leave. A good church would allow you to leave. Yeah? If you're feeling that today, if you're feeling trapped, if you're feeling you're called somewhere else, this is the time to hear God clearly. Listen to what he's saying to you. Let him instruct you how you have to leave somewhere. Let him instruct you what to say, how to do it. But know that you know that God is telling you to leave. If there's something going on in your life and you're thinking, I'm leaving just because I'm a little bit disgruntled about the way that the church is operating, that's not the right way to leave. Give it to God today. Tell him, this is the way I'm feeling and this is the reason why I'm feeling that way. If that's you, give it to him now. When you come to the front, to the altar, it's a sign of declaration that you're speaking to God. It's a sign of a declaration that you're giving it to God. And when you publicly give something to God, he really goes on your behalf and moves. When Jesus was on the cross, it was public. He was making a statement publicly so that everyone knew that he was doing the will of God. So I'm just going to pray right now. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you're really concerned about your church. Jesus, your word says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are